is globally celebrated as International Workers Day, and I want to begin the show with the memory of Usha Devi, a mother of three in Rajasthan who in March this year was hacked to death by her brother-in-law because she insisted on working in a plastic factory because she wanted to give her kids a good education. The husband's family was incensed as she was supposedly going against Rajput tradition by working. Today on We the People, let's talk about India's most shockingly underreported story. Census data backed by the World Bank tells us that Indian women are leaving the workplace in droves. They are falling off the employment map. Ironically, at a time of economic growth and when more and more girls are getting educated. In fact, Indian women are leaving the workplace at the world's fastest rate. Since 2005, the percentage of working age Indian women in the labor force has dropped by 10%, the largest drop of any country in the world during the same period. This is according to data from the ILO, the International Labor Organization. So what's going on? Why this exodus? And does anybody care? We have on the show tonight Nela Lal Kidwai. She's chairman of Max Financial Services and Advent Private Equity. She's a former banker. In fact, the first woman to head an investment bank in India and the first female president of the Federation of the Indian Chambers of Commerce and Industry. We have Dr. Jayati Ghosh. She's a development economist. Surjit Bhalla, he's a member of Prime Minister Modi's Economic Advisory Council. Namita Pandare, she's a journalist. She's been working on women in work for India Spend, and we have Gaurav Vallabh from the Congress and Vaibhav Agarwal from the BJP. Dr. Ghosh, usually economic growth in developing countries leads to more jobs for women. We're growing at 7%, so why is it that women are disappearing from the workforce in India?
Well, you know, the Indian story is really about unpaid work. If you look at the data that you have been quoting, if you unpack it further, you realize that most of this decline is due to women who are classified as not in the labor force because essentially they're doing what are called household duties and collecting water, fuel, wood, and things like that. So these are all essential economic activities, but we choose not to.
They're working much harder.
Absolutely. They're working very, very hard. If you include all of those, 86% of women in the country are working. If you don't include them, only 24% are working. It's a huge difference. No, it's because this work has to be done. It's essential economic activity, and it is the gender construction, if you like, of Indian society that women are the ones who do it.
So they have to do it because no one else in the house will do it.
Absolutely. And this is what our surveys also tell us, that 80% of these women say we do it because there's nobody else who can do this.
Who can do it or who will do it or who wants to do it. Okay. Namita, this exodus and what we're talking about, what Dr. Ghosh is talking about, this goes against the narrative of what we think of modern India. We're talking about urban India right now, the fact that women are falling off the labor force. This goes against this idea of this new India that we're living in, that's modernizing, we're breaking away from the shackles of patriarchy and we're moving forward, right?
You know, Sarah, I've been spending the last 1 year for India Spend tracking the women who fell off the labor map, and I'm looking at rural as well as urban. And it's pretty much the same broad narrative in both places. And if you want a one-word answer, I would say it is family. Because it is family that imposes gender roles on women. It is family that tells women that they are expected to fetch, to do all the unpaid work that Jayati was talking about. It is family that gives permission to women. So, you know, when in India, women need permission to go to the market. They need permission to go to the doctor.
Correct. 80%.
Absolutely. So where is the permission coming to go to work? In many B towns and in many rural areas, I was in Haryana recently at one of the largest universities for rural women. And the women there are coming from villages and they are doing MPhils and PhDs but not working because there are no opportunities for them. Their parents will not allow them, or their husbands and their families, in-laws will not allow them to go far to work. So there is no nearby opportunity for them to work in the village, right? So they're looking, there's a lot of gender bias that comes into what kind of work women should do, what is appropriate work for women. So women, is okay for them to go into teaching, to go into government jobs. It is not okay for them, you know, and we in media, we celebrate the exceptional story, you know, so women in the fire services, for instance, there was a big story, but how many really are there? Because women are pushed into those areas which are considered acceptable work for women.
So talking about exceptional stories, Naina, maybe you can come in here. Do you agree with what we're saying? It's really the families that reinforce these gender stereotypes. You were the first Indian woman to go to Harvard Business School, and you've broken the glass ceiling in your own sphere, in your industry. Would you? How do you straddle both worlds? The fact that you're a woman from India who's achieved all this, are you an exception?
Well, you know, I can only tell you that in a book I put together, 30 women CEOs, their vision, their stories, the common theme across that was the support they got from family. Fathers, mothers, behind them all the way, fathers playing a very key role. In fact, often we think it's just the mother. But in all these cases, the influence of the father in terms of career, planning, support were all very critical. And contrary to what I thought, because I came from a family where we were two girls and I thought, therefore, all the energy got funneled into us. My sister went on to become India's leading woman golfer. I went into the world of finance. So if we had a brother, would it have been different? And in fact, the interesting thing with these other 30 women was many came from families where they weren't just sisters. So obviously they grew up in family environments which were very open, intelligent, largely middle class, well-educated backgrounds. In a few cases, even the mothers working in that generation. And therefore, they did benefit from having the right family background. So the counter to that has to be in just exactly what you're hearing, that so, if you don't have it, it isn't working for
you. You're both in agreement. The catch point here is how the family supports you, if they support you at all. Like Indra Nui, I remember, because you know most families, they would say, look, you want to work, you want to be a banker, you want to be a manager, you want to be a maid, you still have to do the household duties, which is what Dr. Ghosh is saying. Yeah. So, I think you know that famous story of Indra Nui coming home after getting a promotion, and she tells her mom, hey mom, I got this promotion, and the mom says, leave the crown, leave your crown at the door and go get the milk, or whatever it was.
Yes, it was
so, so if it's all about the families, we actually have Madhur Prabhakar here. He's someone who's gone against the stream. You're a stay-at-home dad. That's quite unusual in India. Is that?
In fact, I was a stay-at-home dad for about, till last year. I rejoined work because my daughter is grown up now. In fact, for me to stay at home was, I wanted to kill the bias that here Lena is talking about. I have a daughter. I don't want to set a bad example that women are supposed to stay at home. I'm an equal partner in bringing up my child. At the same time...
Wow. How many of us get that? She's a lucky woman, your wife.
I hope so. So, at the same time, you know, it's funny, you know, as a family's concern, one, we have spoken about parents, we have spoken about siblings. Nobody speaks about husbands. So, husband is very important, you know. Once you actually, as far as Indian culture is concerned, one has to leave home. And, you know, I don't appreciate the entire culture as well, though. But having said so, you are the family then. You are the one that a wife stays
the
with.
The new family.
Yes.
She leaves and goes to her husband's home is what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the same time, she just delivered a child. My child was about 1 year old. She was too attached to leave a child alone with a help or perhaps my parents. They are old, you know. I put up my hand. She was getting into depression. I was like, I'm going to stay at home. I have a flexibility.
But she wanted to work.
She wanted to work.
And she was getting a good salary that could support everyone.
In fact, I was when I was staying at home, I was working as well. So I had a flexibility. In fact, I wrote a book when I was staying at home, so it paid off as well. I wanted her to rejoin office. Because her career is equally important. You know, I don't want her to be my grandmother who never worked. I don't want her to be my neighbors who think a woman should stay at home and cook food. I can cook better than her. So,
if you hadn't offered, would she have quit?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's just a minder. It's a family thing. She wanted to join work, but somewhere down the line, it was all getting boiled up inside her.
Mm.
Because as far as the family structure is concerned, they think that, you know, once the child is there, she can take care of home and all that stuff. I didn't want her to do that. I don't want to set a bad example for my child.
And how old is your child now?
She's going to be 3 soon.
Okay, so she's starting school, and so you feel you could go back to work full time.
Yes.
So you make it sound easy. So Namita, why can't it be the same for women then? Why can't we take a break, and once the kids go back to school, we should also be able to find a job and go back to work to our old jobs.
Exactly. And why is it that a man who stays at home to bring up his child and therefore fulfill his parenting duty and obligation as a father, such a man is a superhero? When a woman does it, she's just another mom, correct, right? She's not exceptional. She just does what every woman is expected to do. So yes, it's great that Madhur took that decision, but he's not doing anything different from what so many other women routinely do.
Absolutely. You also, you quit your job full-time
I still work from the house. I never went back to it because I also enjoyed the freedom and the flexibility that working from the house gave me. So it kind of opened a window of opportunity for me. But yes, I was just being another mom because I just found it impossible.
But was it easy for you to get a job somewhere where they would encourage this flexi timings?
Not at the time when I quit. No. I quit working full-time about, I would say, 10 years ago. No. And the first thing that hits you is your paycheck. When you see the size of your check that you get as a freelancer coming home, it's not a good feeling. It's not at all. And we do it very often because we are also secondary income earners. You know, so women, we and just, there's just one more thing I wanted to add since Naina is here, and I don't mean to, so just cut me off when I'm talking too much, which is that, you know, this whole business of leaning in, and I know Naina has written a foreword for Sheryl Sandberg's book, and I find that, I mean, corporates are, of course, changing. Workplace culture is changing, but I feel that corporates need to lean in far more than women do, because you can lean in and lean in as much as you want to, but for moms, there's a 6 to 8 golden hour. That's the only time you're going to see your children. And if corporates do not change that workplace culture and stop having useless meetings that go on till late in the evening, you know, I mean, every woman understands that there is an exceptional day, she will have to put in late hours, but if you're going to do it routinely and you're going to go home when your kids are in bed, you are going to at some stage say, I don't want to lean in any longer. It's not worth it.
Got it. Well, Sujithan, this is, Mr. Bhalla, this is discomforting. It's because where are the jobs? Is it a situation of just if there were more jobs to go around, then we wouldn't have this problem? Because on one hand, you have a chief minister saying, you know, open a pan stall and just milk cows, and what's the big problem?
You know, I don't want to be a spoilsport to the narrative that the women are losing out. I just published a book where the major conclusion is that the women are going to take over the world and have begun to take over the world. Now, let me point out that you mentioned that the ILO study or the estimate is for, and census is from 2005 to 2011. One minor correction, where they got that data from was the NSSO survey, because there wasn't any census in 2005.
Correct.
And as it happens, with a woman, my wife, we published a paper back in 2011, which looked at precisely this problem of women's labor force participation rate. And what we found was that if you exclude, and I will come to in a minute, the 15 to 24 age group, there is no decline. It is around 31-32%. So what is going on? Just think about it. Women are going and getting more and more educated, such that, according to the NSSO data, the average schooling attainment of women in urban areas, 15 to 24, exceeds that of men by about 0.3 years. So, what is the definition of a job? That is, if you're not a job, the assumption is you're at home, you're doing nothing, but you are going to school. That is what the whole game is about. Kids, women are going to school more and more. Oxford University this year, in its first time in its 1,000-year history, and these are undergraduates, these are 18 to 22, had more women undergraduates than men. So please wake up.
But I go to school because I want to get a job. I go for graduate studies because I want to get a job after that. Am I getting a job after that?
I will address each of your questions. The first question was about the world going to hell in a handbasket, especially India, because women were not working. I can easily address the question of jobs, but let us separate the two. Otherwise, we'll get into turmoil. So point number one, it is so look at the data from 25 to 64. This is what is happening around the world. This is not just an Indian phenomenon, but in India, it's happening more because we really discriminated against the girl child in terms of education. In 1983, same NSSO data, 15 to 24 urban girls and boys, girls had 3 years less education than men.
I agree with you, and I said this in my introduction.
There's a large increase in the 15 to 24 age group that is going into education, and a larger increase for women than for men. So you're getting the statistical result that if you take the age group 15 to 64, it looks bad.
Dr. Ghosh disagrees, but I want to just clarify that we identified this right in the beginning in the introduction. The fact is women are getting more educated and still data is showing that they're not getting jobs. But
labor force has nothing to do with
Dr. Ghosh, go ahead. I just want to clarify.
A data clarification. The age group 25 to 59, which is the typical working age group, shows a definite decline in women's workforce participation, which cannot be explained by involvement in education. It is true there's an increase in involvement in education from 15 to 24. Even so, there is in fact a decline in women's workforce participation. Most of this is in rural areas, but that's because in urban areas it was already abysmally low at 14%. It's so low that it's just obscene already in urban areas. So you can't really get lower than 14%. There's no decline for that reason. In the rural areas, it's declining, and it is women who were seen as working dominantly in agriculture. And now most of these women are doing what is called household work plus collecting water and fuel wood. But I also want to point out that in the states where we have the most educated women, for example, Kerala, we have very low workforce participation rate. And I think that is very strongly reflective of what was just being talked about in terms of the role, I will call it patriarchy, family or whatever you want. But it's the role of society in pushing women into certain kinds of activities, which are economic activities, and restricting them from doing many things. So let's be clear that there is a decline, and that decline is there in the data.
In fact, if I can just add, I think one of the largest declines has been in the demographic of the most educated women. They have dropped out of the workplace faster than others.
In fact, why? The NSS data show us that as well.
Why?
Several reasons: workplace culture. By mid-career, they're dealing with ailing parents and ailing in-laws. Children have board exams. So typically, for instance, if you look at the leaking pipeline of women in tech, you will see that 51% at entry level are in fact women. But by mid-career, they've kind of dropped off. Women are less likely to take foreign assignments, which will be their fast track to career success. Women are less likely to change jobs as often as men. Women are more likely to take sabbaticals, all of which comes at a cost to their career, etc.
Well, Katrina, does that sounds familiar to you? You had a job that you had to travel a lot, and then once you got married, you couldn't do that anymore, or you didn't want to do that anymore.
I mean, that's largely the picture that happens. But there is a point of privilege as well, right? I come from a privileged environment which allows me to do that. There are a lot of women in this country that don't have that and can't necessarily afford to sort of drop out.
Well, at this point of time, we're debating the fact that highly educated women are falling off the workforce. You run, you're the co-founder of Ghar Ka Mai.
Yes.
Sounds like Ghar Jamai.
It's a play on words, yes.
Oh, okay.
It was India's first sort of project-based work portal for women, specifically. And the idea was you have so many women going through what I was going through and in terms of aging parents. I mean, various reasons. They're not always the same, and that's the beauty of it. And the idea is to just redefine work a little bit, you know, make it for professional, more educated women that they can actually do project-based work, do just bulk assignments, work for 6 months, stop working, things like that. It was just about reorganizing how we structure work So move away from that kind of 9-to-9 setup, which a lot of our projects can be, if you think about it. You know, we spend a lot of time drinking coffee and in meetings, as someone just pointed out, that we don't need to be in.
Correct.
So
especially today with technology and Skype and conference calls and things like that.
You can solve it all with, or not all of it, but a good part of it. But in doing that, you create an added burden on women that we started to learn about later, which is that, you know, so she wakes up at 6 o'clock, takes care of her kids, sends them off to school. She maybe gets that 2 hours in the day, and then she kind of is making her lunch, dinner, et cetera, shepping kids back and forth and going home, or coming back home and then taking care of dinner and to sleep. She gets 2 hours of free time, and what are you saying? I'm going to give you a project to do in those 2 hours, right? Which is kind of putting a triple burden on women that's unnecessary. So I think really it is about creating value for some of the other work that women do
So has there been a demand for this product that you created?
Absolutely. There is a huge demand for it. It was acquired by Shiro's, which is the largest portal in the world today for women's careers. Because that's the other thing to think about a woman's career is it doesn't just stay stagnant. It cycles. It has peaks and, you know, crashes and so on and so forth. And so...
But again, this is, as you pointed out, you're from a privileged background. So the women who are accessing this product are all also from that privileged background.
Well, they're all educated, right? And that alone is privilege. If you can use the internet, you're privileged.
Okay, let's talk about the other side. Shashi is, she has a family of seven. Aapki story bataiye hame. Aap kaam karte ho? Haan, Hindi mein bataiye. Aap kaam karte ho na?
Ji, main kaam karti hoon. Kaam pe? Main ek social work karti hoon. CIFAR NGO hai, Center for Advocacy and Research. Main wahan par kaam karti hoon, basti mein ja karke jo bhi unki moolbhoot suvidhaen hain, un sab cheezon ko lekar. Lekin saath saath main apna ghar parivar और वो सब चीज़ें भी संभालती हूँ. सुबह उठ के बच्चों को स्कूल भेजना, सब चीज़ें. इसके साथ साथ काम की भी एक जो जिम्मेदारी है उसमें भी मैं अपने आप को देखती हूँ कि अगर मैं घर को बराबर समय दे रही हूँ तो काम में अगर हम किसी के यहाँ काम कर रहे हैं तो उसमें भी अपनी पूरी ईमानदारी के साथ, मेहनत के साथ काम करें. तो हम लोग कम्युनिटी में जा कर के अलग अलग जगहों पर काम करते हैं और मुझे ये खुशी होती है कि मैं एक हाउसवाइफ होकर के आज इतना आगे आई हूँ कि मैं दूसरी बस्ती में जा कर के दूसरे लोगों को और महिलाओं को सशक्त करने की एक अगुवाई कर रही हूँ ताकि वो भी अपने घर गृहस्थी से, क्योंकि जैसे हम बात कर रहे हैं कि इंडिया जो वर्किंग वुमेन्स हैं तो सभी वर्क करती हैं, ज़्यादातर क्लस्टर्स में महिलाएं हैं. तो ज़्यादा जो भी देखने को मिलता है, जो ड्रिंक करते हैं हस्बैंड, उससे भी उनको बहुत ज़्यादा मतलब दिक्कत का सामना करना पड़ता है. एक तो काम वो पूरा जी जान से करके आती है, घर परिवार सब कुछ संभालना, उसके साथ साथ ये सब चीजें जो चलती है उसको लेकर के बहुत.
तो आप दोनों एक साथ कैसे करते हो, घर को देखना, आपके घर में आपके परिवार में कितने लोग हैं?
मेरे बच्चे हैं, 3 बेटी 1 बेटा, मेरे हस्बैंड हैं, मेरे नाना जी.
तो आप काम क्यों करते हो जब आपके हस्बैंड है वो काम?
मेरे हस्बैंड एक्चुअली बीमार हो गए थे बहुत ज्यादा.
ओके.
तो उनको लीवर अपसेस हुआ था तो वो एडमिट रहे.
आपके पास चॉइस नहीं था, आपको काम करना था?
हाँ, चॉइस नहीं था. अभी तो वो बीमार हुए, लेकिन ये भी था के जो अभी चल रहा है, मतलब फैमिली है, जितना महंगाई है, सब चीज़ें, बच्चों को पढ़ाना है, सब जिम्मेदारी पूरी करना है, तो वो काम करना मुझे लगा मेरे लिए बहुत ज़रूरी है. अगर मैं काम करती हूँ तो मैं अपने परिवार का पालन पोषण और बच्चों की जो एजुकेशन है उसमें घर में पूरा साथ निभा सकती हूँ. ऐसा नहीं है मैं महिला हूँ तो मैं थक करके बैठ जाऊँ, मैं उसको आगे बढ़ना.
ओके. So come in over here, because if we're saying that this, despite the fact that there, we have women falling off the workforce, our growth rate is still
not,
7.
You know, you shouldn't be saying they're falling off.
Well, Namita and Dr. Ghosh also, Namita and Dr. Ghosh also disagree, but let's say if that data is to be believed, the point is, I'm trying to make here, then how much more could our growth be if women were equally involved? Is this not a concern for the government?
It's a very big concern for the government, and this government is very careful about dealing with a subject as touchy as this. And Naina ji would
women
know that the Prime Minister, absolutely, that the Prime Minister, she's had her conversations with him while she was at FLO and FICCI, and the Prime Minister is very conscious about it, and so is Mr. Jaitley, who's already made budgetary provisions in this government's budget in 2018. Just to take us a little back, while Ms. Ghosh agrees with her research, on certain aspects, but data is always subjected to situations and the sources it is collected from.
These are official data.
Yeah, this is
the Government of India's National Sample
These are
Survey.
Not our
yeah,
data.
Sure. But allow
let's
me to
hear him out. Let's hear what he has to say.
You know, that's the beauty. It's a fashion statement to criticize the Modi government always.
No,
but that's
no,
okay.
It's not.
This is data about 2011.
Let me keep a perspective.
Please make your point.
Let me make a perspective here.
This is our government.
In 1901, when the first census happened under the British in India.
1901? Are we going to go back to then?
Right.
I have 1 hour on the show, so let's take
a perspective
right now.
1901. To 1951, the census said that the workforce was only 28 to 34%, that is women's participation, workforce. We are not talking about leadership positions here. Most of the problems that are there are in the middle and the senior management sections. They are not in the workforce section. Let's appreciate that. Most of the disparity in numbers that come in higher education perspective, especially the PhD plus roles. That's the research we're looking at here. You know, the major social evils which attract our attention, mm-hmm. or social traditions that attract our attention, are inadequate travel and transport facilities. Anybody feel free to disagree with me. Societal perception of women who work long hours.
Yes.
Not being considered for top management roles very often. Not being given promotions, big responsibilities, because, you know, she may end up taking leaves and so on and so forth. Getting paid less for the same amount of number of hours that a lady puts in work with respect to a
yes.
man putting into work. And then lack of proper childcare facilities. Now, coming back to the government, when I set the perspective right to my learned panel as well, the government has already taken care of these social evils in three things.
How?
Just major three things.
Which ones?
Maternity benefits have been changed from 12 to 26 weeks. I don't want to go into details because it's just an hour under an hour program. Credit facility requirements have been indicated to all government and non-government organizations very sternly.
Okay.
A process of implementation is absolutely, government can't enter into your office
Correct.
And say, please implement
yeah.
it. We'll work with you
okay.
on it. And then the third is, strict instructions have been given to each organization, government or non-government, for providing security if any lady is available at work 4/7. I think these are three major breakthroughs, and of course we've made tens
okay.
of. I have.
So
I
think
have
what
a list.
He's all right, but what he's saying is the government has at least gone ahead and pushed. Let's talk about the maternity leave
right.
policy, right? It's increased. It's now more than
right.
the U.S. For example, it's 6 months paid and 2 months
US
half.
Yes,
the U.S. doesn't
yeah.
have. Okay, Japan, France, it's as good if not better than them. But what is the reality on the ground? Because the feedback I'm getting about the maternity leave is that it may actually be detrimental. That firms may choose not to hire women even more.
Look, anyway, only 2% of women workers, those who are classified as working, qualify. That is, work in enterprises or organizations where they would actually benefit from this. Only 2%.
Formal employment.
Yeah. Okay. Only 2%.
So I think this is the segregation that has to happen.
And
when we say workforce,
yes, exactly.
it's very confusing
yes.
because
yeah.
corporate India has a very different story, which is both good and bad. And I would only add here that it is not enough to have just the maternity leave policy. I can tell you, even the flexi hours policy, when I introduced
That's
it in the
correct.
Bank, it was a real challenge to get my managers to accept it and execute on it. So the policy was
so
there.
Policy
if you looked,
is there, the reality on
you,
the ground
you
may
tick
be very
the
different.
Box, but in fact, the discrimination sets in. And by the way, we had men and women opting for it. But in the reviews that would happen for the person who took a flexi hour bit, the boss was like, oh, I really don't want this person on the team. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
The grades were just not given maybe fairly enough for someone who was working 50% of the time. So that discrimination is still there because my generation of managers is still not comfortable with how to deal with this. But so if you ask me what, and I totally agree with you, corporates have to lean in.
Yeah.
That if you ask me what the corporate workplace of tomorrow should look like, and it will help us on our carbon footprint, it will help us on transportation, is we have strong cyber Wi-Fi hubs from where we can go and
Not
work
sure,
in the
yeah.
secure
That's
environment.
Good, yeah.
I should be able to walk to work, so I don't have to clutter the system with traffic and carbon. And that should be a perfectly okay way to
and
communicate.
Safety for women.
What?
Safety
for women.
Safety
but
at workplace.
It's but it's not just men and women. It's for all of us.
Yeah.
The policies must be made for all. But imagine if we have a system where we can all dial in from the proximity to home. And I'm saying maybe not home, because not everybody has a quiet environment. You can't always work with kids shouting. If you're home, maybe you're being asked to cook when you should be working. So you have a place you can go to, Wi-Fi hub, which enables you to link back, and it is perfectly fine. So the organization's mindset has to change that it, because you're the one who's dialing in all the time, it goes against you. You can set the rules. 2 days a week you come in, 3 days a week you work in this way. We do need to re-engineer the organization for our people, men and women. And believe me, you'll find more men helping at home as well then, because it becomes easier for both to work that way. And
I
want to just pick up on what Dr. Ghosh is saying, that these policies, though are good policies, and we're glad that the government has incorporated them, it's not affecting the large majority of women. So women are working in the informal workforce. Yeah, so they're not
exactly
going to,
you know, 98% of women workers in India are informal workers.
Right, but that's already
can we simply
if you look at it.
No, I would like to just finish my point, please. So the point is really what we can do to improve their conditions. One of the critical things we need to make sure that is to reduce some of that burden of housework, childcare, etc. So basic infrastructure, basic amenities, basic childcare. Instead of cutting money on Anganwadis and on pre-primary schooling and all of that, you must expand that. We must have 20 times the kind of spending we have on that. Instead of employing Anganwadi workers, helpers and ashas at well below minimum wages, not calling them workers, giving them voluntary honorarium, rather treat them as proper workers, give them proper jobs, give them that kind of respect and dignity, and enable the people, women who would benefit from that, to then have the freedom to go out.
That's already becoming a rhetoric, if I can quickly add on to this.
No, I'm sorry, this is not rhetoric. It's a demand to make Anganwadi workers
absolutely
recognized as workers. Yeah. It's not a rhetoric. And it's a demand we make to all governments.
Point
yours,
well taken.
The previous government, everybody. So please don't treat this politically.
Let me share this. I'm only bringing out certain initiatives. Especially under the leadership, while Nenaji was heading FICCI, one of the leading Indian global women, and Missouri, of course, there was the first time that corporate audit started to understand what were the problems of women that they were facing at workplace. You know, it was only during their time when corporate audit started in India, when they started looking back. The second part of it, coming back to what Ms. Ghosh is saying, point well taken, this government's hearing. How? Beti Bachao, Beti Padhao has its own initiatives. I am not getting into the merits of it. There are always two sides of the coin. There is Sukanya Samriddhi account that we are already working with that at that level. We're trying. There's a lot of legacy to deal with.
Okay, fair enough.
There is Pradhan Mantri Maitri Vandana Yojana, which is to combat the rural maternity moral obligations of ladies there. There is Ujwala Yojana. Then there is first time in the history of independent India when there are 2 crore plus gas cylinders that have been distributed by this government to get rid of that chula part of it. You know, so let's appreciate that.
And a lot of women do have to spend time trying to pick up. Okay, now there's a quick response.
Thing which I want to add to. I have no quarrel, actually, even though it's fashionable, as my colleague, my co-panelist says. But my quarrel is that, again, what is the messaging that is happening? And I think maybe, I'm not blaming this government, maybe any government would do it. When you increase maternity leave to 6 months and do not mandate paternity leave, even if it is affecting only that 2% women who are employed in the formal sector,
correct,
what is the message you're giving? You say, whose job is it to bring up the baby? It's the woman's. In your give up your gas subsidy scheme, in all the pictures, it's always the woman who's cooking. Because she benefits. Yeah. Why doesn't he benefit ever?
I agree.
I'm saying out of
pain. I agree. I go on record. I agree humbly.
Thank you.
And you know, I'll be the first one if my girl wants me to stay at home, I'll be very happy to stay.
No, but don't you want to stay at home with your daughter? Why does she want you to stay at home?
I don't
you want to stay at home with your own daughter? No, but I think that's really good. If we had more paternity leave, because with just maternity leave, we're reinforcing the stereotype that, you know, it's the mom's job to look after the child, and in the end the dad's like, oh, the child never comes to me, it's biological that she has
just giving paternity leave is not going to solve it. He'll just go and play golf and
no.
You have to change the mindset.
That's
point, good point.
That is again in a sense stereotype. You're just assuming you're tarring all men with the same brush. I mean, there are women who might take maternity leave and go off to kiddie parties.
Most organizations, that's a stereotype. Most organizations do not give more than 2 weeks paternity leave.
I'm talking about institutional stereotyping and institutional.
I totally agree to you.
Putting you into a box.
I totally agree.
That's what I'm talking about.
By the way, I think 6 months maternity leave is great. I wish I had it. And women should take it free of guilt. And many organizations today go well beyond the 6 months. They enable you to take up to a year because you can stitch it together with other schemes
then women
and
have
possibilities.
Problems when they get the back key, to the workforce.
I was just going to say, the key to it is the rejoining back,
correct.
Being able to maintain level and ensure that you haven't been discriminated by the fact that you've been away.
And how many women work in industries where you have maternity leave? Also, women who are on maternity leave may not give their own maids who are working in their homes
time off
once they're pregnant and having babies. But okay, Gaurav, you know, there is an overall failure and your co-panelists mentioned the legacy, but I want to bring that in because over the years with successive governments, all the governments have failed women. Whether it's the fact that, you know, women are going out to collect firewood for chula, whether there's safety and transportation is tough. The first thing when there's any assault on a woman, the parent will say, beta, why do you need to go to work? Why do you need to go to college? Just cancel and stay at home.
See, there are two perspectives of seeing this. I would like to convey my party's position from two angles. First is the formal employment, another is informal employment. As far as informal employment is concerned, where majority of women are employed, the major game changer was MNREGA.
Yes,
and it's not only the participation, but also the gender pay gap.
Yes.
There was a drastic reduction in gender pay gap from 2004 to 14 by 10 percentage point. And up 14 onwards, the data is not there, so I can't comment.
Please.
Let him finish.
I don't want you to synthesize the data. So I can only make the government data, not BJP data.
Just let him finish.
What he's saying is correct. Yeah.
So that is something which had helped the informal sector gender gap and gender pay gap, first thing. Second thing, as far as formal sector is concerned, see in 2013, the new Companies Act came and for all listed companies, there was a mandatory requirement of having women director because the message should flow from the top. So till now, we made that as a mandatory, but till now, as for the information of all of us, 25% of the listed companies are not having women directors, although it's
policy
a mandatory.
Versus implementation.
So, not implementation. They are not making it mandatory. Had it been a mandatory, like any other provisions, like making annual return or annual account, if he is making such noises, then how I can make?
Let him finish his point and then you can.
I am making technical
Okay,
point.
Please make your point.
I'm so sorry, my dear brother.
Okay.
Please make your point.
If neither of you want to make a point, I'm happy to move on.
We have the patience of listening.
I'm so sorry.
Finish.
So what I'm saying that as far as the informal sector was concerned, the women directors, from top it should flow down. So that's a problem because they had not made it mandatory. Had it been mandatory, every listed company has to do that. But now any company which doesn't want to do that, they will say, we were not able to find a genuine or a knowledgeable women director, which is not
or
an argument.
Put their mother's advice,
which is not an argument company. Which I can digest in the current scenario. Second thing, as far as informal middle management and the entry-level jobs are concerned for urban crowd which is sitting here, the only problem is that the ministers, he had mentioned some points, but their own ministers, and I can name them, at least 10 of them, are making statements like that if you want to sell more alcohol, have the women name or women photo.
I don't want to get into this tutu-mama between the Congress and the BJP.
I don't want to name them.
Maybe there is.
All right, since both of you insist on talking over each other, I actually want to go across to Mehrunissa because she's a great example of someone who's choosing to break stereotypes in her own world. Mehrunissa, aap kya karte ho?
लेडी बाउंसर
मुझे नहीं पता था बाउंसर मैं बाउंसर बनूंगी जॉब करने के लिए आई तो पार्ट टाइम जॉब मुझे बाउंसर के लिए मिली तो मुझे लगा सिक्योरिटी गार्ड की जॉब है मैंने बोला नहीं मैं नहीं करूँगी फिर सेलिब्रिटी के साथ जाने लगी ऑफिस में मेरा सपना भी पूरा हो रहा था बचपन से एक ही सपना था कि मैं आर्मी या पुलिस में जाऊँगी
हाँ।
और इसमें दूसरे को सिक्योर करना होता था तो मुझे काफ़ी हद तक अच्छा लगने लगा और मैंने बाउंसर लाइन ज्वाइन कर ली
ओके तो आपके टाइमिंग्स क्या होते हैं लेट होंगे नहीं
हाँ 8 बजे से और 1 बजे तक की ड्यूटी होती मेरी
तो आपके माँ बाप क्या कहते हैं आपके मतलब नेबर्स क्या कहते हैं इंडिया में नेबर्स सबसे पहले नेबर्स
मम्मी पापा ने मम्मी ने तो हमेशा सपोर्ट किया पापा को थोड़ा डर लगता था कि मार पिटाई का काम है हमेशा लड़ाई झगड़े करती है कहीं कुछ हो जाएगा तो लेकिन मैंने
यहाँ पे आपको लोगों को जब वो लड़ रहे हैं आपको उनको रोकना है ना तो आपको किसी को मारना तो नहीं है
सोशल में इतना नहीं होता लेकिन मैं इवेंट पे जाती थी ना तब हमेशा लड़कों से पंगे होते थे मेरे
नहीं अच्छा तो एक मिनट आप क्या आप जब लड़के दारू पीते हैं और फिर लड़ते हैं आप उनको रोकते हो या जब जैसे लड़कियों को कोई हरास कर रहे हैं या मतलब टीज कर रहे हैं फिर आप आते हो
लड़कियाँ काफी बार बदतमीजी करती हैं काफी बार ऐसा होता है लड़कियों को लड़के छेड़ रहे हैं तो उनको भी
अच्छा सो देयर मोर स्टीरियोटाइप्स बीइंग ब्रोकन नहीं तो मतलब यू कैन हैव वुमेन हु आर ड्रंक एंड वुमेन हु आर फाइटिंग एंड दैट्स व्हाई यू हैव टू कम इन
हाँ मुझे जाना पड़ता है क्योंकि लड़के ऐसा होता है ना लड़के अगर उनके बीच में जाएंगे तो उनकी पर्सनल प्रॉब्लम मतलब पर्सनल दुश्मनी बन हो जाएगी लड़का एक लड़के से साथ जाके समझाएगा या कुछ भी बोलेगा
हाँ.
तो वहाँ फाइटिंग फाइट हो जाएगी दोनों में
हाँ.
और हम जाके थप्पड़ भी मारेंगे तो लड़का साइड हो जाएगा
जब स्टार्टिंग में आई थी तब लेडी बाउंसर नहीं होती थी उस टाइम सिक्योरिटी गार्ड रखते थे और अब आपकी बहन भी यही करती है
सिस्टर भी बाउंसर
तो जॉब अपॉर्चुनिटी फॉर द वुमेन ओके ग्रेट सो देयर आर न्यू एवेन्यूज कमिंग अप न्यू अपॉर्चुनिटीज एंड न्यू वुमेन हु आर चूजिंग टू फिल दैट स्पेस एंड यू नो It's not easy. आसान था जब आपने शुरू किया ये
मेरे लिए आसान था क्योंकि मुझे मार पिटाई का बड़ा शौक था
Okay, let's take a break on that note and come back and try and find out what we can do differently to change things, to have corporates, etc., be more gender sensitive for women and men in the workplace. A quick break. Thank you.
Light up your home the way you like with Tiswa, my signature line of designer lights from Usha International.
Zyada apps ka jhanjat? Oh no no, you only need one bro, yo no.
Yo no,
yo no,
yo no.
You only need one, do everything as you talk out the sun. You only need one, you only need one.
Yo no, lifestyle and banking dono.
I am a new age warrior, fearless and passionate. A true wanderer, I like to explore my limits and then go beyond. I love leaving a tread where there is none and discovering the world. I am a new age samurai, a true wanderer, and I dare to tread anywhere.
Socha tha diya ko foreign university bhejenge. पर ये तो टर्म इंश्योरेंस लेना ही भूल गए
policybazaar.com पर पाओ 1 crore का टर्म इंश्योरेंस सिर्फ 490 रुपए पर मंथ में
ओरिएंट एरोस्टॉर्म विद द हाईएस्ट एवर 300 cm एयर डिलीवरी वेरी पावरफुल वेरी साइलेंट एरो सीवी स्पैन्स ओरिएंट इलेक्ट्रिक स्विच टू स्मार्ट
ओके वी आर गोइंग बैक ऑन द शो
All right, welcome back. Now, studies have shown that if you reduce the male-female labor participation gap in India, GDP can go up by about 1 trillion. But let's get some reactions from the audience and women. Do you think women in India can have careers or just jobs?
Of course, careers and jobs both. Why not?
What do you do?
I'm right now a bar owner. I own a bar in Gurgaon and I'm opening another one in GK2 soon.
Wow. Good. And did you always, you started off as a bar owner?
No, I started as a bartender. So that I did my hospitality management. And then after that, I started bartending. And I got really excited by the job, just like Nisha just mentioned. It was late hours. It was difficult, but it was very exciting as well. And there were no women around, literally no women around 15 years ago.
So we mentioned security. If I can just pick up. So, like, you know, security is often an issue for women everywhere, and it affects the professional choices that they make and how far they can continue in their professions. So even this must have been
absolutely, and I think it's in India it's very much to each their own, and that's how it is even now. Back then it was about your male colleagues dropping you or your bosses dropping you or anybody with a car was how it worked. And now I think companies are getting a little better at it with pickups and drops. But in hospitality industry as well, there are proper organized, it's an organized sector where there is proper pickups and drops for women all the time. But security is always there. Whenever it's a late night situation, there is always that question. So.
But an unsafe city restricts a woman from achieving her professional goal.
The IT sector.
And I think we're not doing enough about providing that basic transport infrastructure, ensuring the cheapness of that infrastructure.
It's on the roads. You know, things which were all there in the Verma Commission's report after the terrible Nirbhaya raid.
Okay, where I just want closing arguments. What can we do to improve the gender sensitivity in our workspaces? We're right now, unfortunately, talking about urban India, so especially corporates. We have these policies. How can they be implemented unless, does it make a difference having more women in positions of authority? So we can just get closing arguments, Ms. Ghosh.
Yes, I think first of all, getting more women, you have to have enough women. One is not enough. You need about 30% to make a difference to the culture of any organization. Second, you have to create the infrastructure for it. You have to provide the security, the safety, the transport, all of that kind of thing. Third, you have to recognize all the work that women do, including the unpaid work, and value it. Because we don't value the unpaid work that women do, all the work that women do gets treated as downgraded. And we don't adequately reward the women, the unpaid work. We don't, even the government doesn't pay Anganwadi workers and others properly. So we really need to change the culture inside government as well as in the corporations, I would say, to transform the conditions under which women have to work.
Mr. Bhalla, what do organizations need to do to overcome this gender parity in the workspace?
Look, you know, I come from a different planet.
Certainly.
I think a necessary condition for gender parity.